Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the Jews were right. They were the children of Abraham. They were the children of the promise that God would come among them and shepherd them as his people once again. Kings had led them, but were dim reminders of God as their true king. The prophets came and went, speaking to them God's word, but they were mere mortals, humans too, so their word could easily be ignored. Over time, the Jews became more and more confirmed in their thought that they were a lock as God's chosen people. Their belief was not really in an eternal life in heaven, though such a thing does exist, but they were expecting an earthly kingdom, a return to paradise, a reestablishing of God's promised land. These Jews were taught that if they could really keep God's law, his Torah, then the Messiah would come, the Christ would make his presence known and take Israel then back and raise up the Jews as a prominent people once more. A dwindling few among the Jews still held on to the faith of their forefathers, the patriarchs of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, of Moses and Joshua, of David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Daniel. They too believed that they were a chosen people, a special nation, but not so much that God would overlook their own sinfulness. Sin was still sin, and they knew that it angered God. Children of Abraham, yes, they were, but also slaves to sin. They believed. And so they did not need a Messiah so much to give them a new home, as much as they needed a Savior who would take away their sinfulness, make them righteous once more, like Adam and Eve in perfection before them. But as usual, that gospel message took a back seat to the more enticing and scintillating message of a chosen people here on earth who had earthly blessings beyond compare for their apparent faithfulness in keeping God's commands. For over 400 years, longer than this country has even existed, there had been no word from God, no prophets to speak. Many had given up hope of ever hearing a prophet's voice again. Not that they would truly listen anyway. But it was nice to have one around from time to time, know that God was still more directly present. But then word was starting to spread. There was a strange loner out in the wilderness drawing crowds to the surrounding Jordan riverside. That was a good day's journey away, especially from a city like Jerusalem. What could be worth such a hike for so many people to traverse out to the river? Well, skeptics can only be skeptical for so long, allowing it to keep them away. And so when the word of this wilderness man finally was heard as they made their way out, it was jarring to them, jolted them into great thought. Repent, he said, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, that would mean something very different for the Jews in that day than it does for us here and now. For if this John was correct, speaking this word in the wilderness, then it was true the promised Christ, the Messiah, was near at hand. And if God's chosen one was truly now coming, then life was about to change for the Jews. Big things were about to take place. Life should get better than they had ever known. With the coming of heaven's kingdom and the Messiah himself, naturally preparation must be made. When the Christ truly does come, he should be able to get started with his work and his ministry without missing a beat, without having to do any of the preparatory work himself. And so repentance of all people is prescribed. Not a mere turning away from daily sin, mind you, which is truly good, but this message was meant for everyone of all time. Repentance in the way of stop walking in the ways of this world and return to God, your Lord. For you cannot serve both. You cannot serve this world and the Lord. The religious leaders bristled at this message of John. Certainly God's own people, his chosen one, Abraham's descendants, need not repent. Such a message was for the rest of the world, the Gentiles, the heathens, the pagans. John could not presume to tell them that they had not been serving the true God. Forgiveness of sins was not something they felt they needed, nor were they concerned about. And yet, many of their fellow Jews were making the trek into the wilderness for just that reason. They were confessing their sins to John the Baptizer and even being baptized by him in the waters of the Jordan. Now, what would the true Messiah say about that? Well, the true Messiah would agree with John. For John was that one voice crying in the wilderness. He was the actual fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. A new prophet had finally come and broken that four-century silence. And his message was a doozy. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will separate the chaff from the wheat, and the chaff to be burned with unquenchable fire. Get in line, John says. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness you need. When the Messiah does finally come, listen to him. Hear his voice. Follow his lead. No matter how crazy you may think that he is not. He is the promised one. He is the Son of God in human vesture, in human form, the Word made flesh. And you will see his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. And when Jesus did finally arrive there at that scene, there were many who were ready for his coming, as prepared by the baptizer himself. When Jesus did appear, John baptized him and then pointed everyone to Jesus. John must decrease, and Jesus must increase. And that he did. Jesus grew in great fame as massive crowds followed after him throughout the Galilean countryside. Meanwhile, John was arrested and eventually beheaded. John's task as the forerunner was complete. He had prepared the way. He had pointed the world to God's own Son, to Jesus. And John died believing that Jesus would truly save him from his own sins, even if he was not quite sure how that would all take place. Jesus then continued all throughout his ministry talking about the forgiveness of sins, about having true peace with God through him. He spoke of a new heaven, a new earth, punctuating his teaching with miracles that showed forth what the new paradise, the new earth would truly be like, free from blindness and deafness, free from paralysis and demon possession, free from starvation and calamity, from death. That message of repentance, started by John, begun long before by the prophets, remains central to our Christian faith today. For each day we are to repent of our sins, receive the forgiveness of those sins, and we are to remember each day that we cannot fall into that trap of loving this world more than Christ himself. And when we do fall into that trap, repentance is truly needed, and forgiveness will follow. John prepared his fellow Jews for Jesus' coming through repentance and through baptism. You have been prepared for Jesus' coming to you through repentance and baptism just the same. And when Jesus does come to you in his body and in his blood, you repent of your sin and of this world, and you cling to Christ as Lord and King. And in this season of Advent, you prepare again for the celebration of Jesus' birth, of God becoming man, of Word becoming flesh. Your preparation for Christmas and for receiving the Lord in His Supper, as we do each and every year, and as we prepare for His supper each and every week, that preparation is the same as your preparation for Jesus' return on the last day. Repentance, turning away from sin, from the ways of this world, receiving forgiveness as the gift that it is, as it is spoken in absolution, and as it is fed to you in sacramental bread and wine. The forgiveness of your sins, laying aside of your debt, is what Jesus has done for you by His own death upon the cross. It was His chief reason for coming into this world, why God chose to become flesh. Many of the Jews did not believe or think that they needed what Jesus offered, but they were wrong. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None are good, none are right, none are true. No people here on this earth could possibly ever please God enough with their hearts, with their minds, with their works, to persuade God into action on their behalf, even us today. God's action in Jesus to save is purely by His love, His grace alone. His love for you drove Jesus to the cross. His love for you led Jesus to His resurrection from the grave. And Jesus Christ will come again in great glory on that last day. Be sure of it. It is guaranteed. John came proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is near, and it still is today. It is near, and it is here. For wherever God gives us His Holy Spirit, and we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time, as Luther explains in the Catechism. God has always desired to dwell with His people and for us to dwell here in this His creation, His world. God placed Adam and Eve into the perfect place, a perfect garden with all of their needs supplied. And God walked with them in their midst. He tabernacled among His people, tented with them throughout the wilderness as He dwelled in the Ark of the Covenant. His temple pointed to His close presence among His own people, as does now the bread and wine give us Jesus Himself. Jesus continually comes to you by His word and in His sacrament, preparing for you the way to His great kingdom that knows no end, preparing for you the way to eternal life, the new heaven and the new earth. For yes, the kingdom of heaven is near, for Jesus is here, its King, and He is with you now and forevermore. Amen. The peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.